The Dharma, incomparably profound and exquisite, is rarely met with even in hundreds of thousands of millions of kalpas. We now can see it, hear it, accept and hold it. May we realize the true mind of the Tathagata. Today is day one of this very first session here in January 2016 at Mountain Gate in northern New Mexico as the snow is softly falling. It's winter here up in the mountains. And I'd like to share with you a number of things today. The first is that a dear friend of mine, Barbara Jusen Bland, whose daughter, she's a mother and daughter team of Zen practitioners, very serious Zen practitioners. Her daughter, Jikishin Linda, I met decades ago in Rochester Zen Center when she was she was actually the chief resident in neurosurgery at Strong Memorial Hospital in Rochester. And she would, in spite of her incredibly intense schedule, pop in for one round of sitting frequently, many times a week. I was head of Zendo at the time, and normally a person would have to come to the full set of sittings, but her circumstances were unusual, and her dedication was profound. And so it was to my delight that I met up with her many, many years later at Sogenji. And her mother, Barbara, whose name Buddhist name is Jusen, also practices, also very serious practitioner. And her mom is my age and is in the hospital for open-heart surgery at this point in time. She's having to have bypass surgery. And I'm sure it's quite legitimate because Linda's a doctor. But to help support her, both of them really, we'll dedicate our efforts in this session to Jusen's rapid recovery and stellar surgery and a long future ahead for both of them so that they can truly continue to deepen their practice. I also got an email today from the husband of one of our members in Hidden Valley Zen Center and our sister Sangha in California. Daiji had a stroke a year and a half ago, very bad stroke, while she was visiting, she and her husband were visiting their son, daughter-in-law, and grandkids in Vermont. And it was bad enough that she was in residence for 5 or 6 weeks at least, and then it was some time before she could even travel. And since then, she's been in all kinds of stroke recovery programs. Thankfully, they have enough money that they can afford this. And I just learned that in October, she had another stroke. My first stroke took out one of her eyes. She was suddenly blind in one eye and had speech problems. And a later update indicated that she still had not been able to figure out how to use the telephone or the computer. And then to have another stroke just a couple of months ago, now she can't talk at all. Well, she can talk, but it apparently comes out nonsense. She knows what she wants to say, but she can't say it. Despite that, Ed says that her mind state is positive. And this is perhaps due to her many, many years of practice, long years of practice. And the third thing I'd like to share with you is that Seki, a student of Hatoroshi's at Sogenji, who was terminally ill from cancer, has died. And I received photographs of the ceremony and also of her at the very last moments, it appeared. These things are in front of our eyes all the time. When we're young, we don't think much of it. We may miss a grandparent or a friend who's killed in a car accident, for example. But we generally don't think we're ever going to die. We don't think we're ever going to get sick seriously. You know, open heart surgery, that's for old folks, right? When we're young, we have this sense that we're invincible. And sometimes we're pulled up short with it as well. But I'd like to share with you now a writing by a student of my Dharma sister, my dear Dharma sister, Sunyata Roshi, who heads the Vermont Zen Center, and this is from their newsletter, Walking Mountains. This man obviously has had some serious practice under his belt. And the article is entitled, Every Day is a Good Day. Every day is a good day. Until we were given the beautiful kanon that is on the altar just outside the zendo here. In its place had been a calligraphy by Harada Roshi that literally said, Every day is a good day. And every day is a good day. Even if we're having open heart surgery, even if we're dying of cancer, even if, how can that be? When we go deeply enough in our practice, we see it is profoundly true. So let me share with you this article, which was written by Greg Heath. Again, as I said, he's a student of Sunyata Roshi and the Vermont Zen Center. Suppose you're sitting under some extraordinary circumstance, begins a paragraph in Shunryu Suzuki's Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. Surely this is not to suggest a trifling circumstance, such as sitting at 4 in the afternoon rather than early in the morning or just before slipping into bed at night. No, this is another matter. Suppose you're sitting with grave concerns for your child who is in peril. Suppose you're facing the prospect of financial ruin. Maybe you're waiting to hear the diagnostic report from your spouse's oncologist or your own. Though we have a powerful teaching that every day is a good day, we're called to the cushions on the good days and the bad days alike. The bells ring as we settle into the familiar posture for Zazen. When the words and concepts eventually exhaust themselves, it can be the physicality of our practice that offers lessons. We've learned to notice the tight chest, the shallow breath, the tension in the shoulders. Where is the perfect oval in the lap, formed of fingers lying on fingers and thumbs lightly touching? It's vanished as I press with might thumbs into thumbs. As if the force of my will alone could keep my son safe or heal what feels broken. Breathe. Return to the breath. Return to who? Face. Mu. A hand. These, of course, are our koans, breakthrough koans. I hear Roshi's voice rise in my mind, and I'm back from my practice. To our great benefit, we have the Zen training available. We can learn to notice our reactions to thought and experience and also learn that some of our responses work better for us than others. One option always available is to wish for things to be different. Isn't this the general way people go about life? Wishing things were different, trying to make them different, even if they can't be. A terminal diagnosis. How can we make that different? A child killed in an accident. How can we make that different? A divorce. A loss of a job. A loss of income. How can we make that different? It is what it is. And we have the opportunity to react or respond. And if our practice is deep enough, we choose the latter. As an example, One option always available is to wish for things to be different. I'm reminded of my foster daughter's words. So, how's that working out for you? In the Zendo, I think, why is my knee hurting so? I wish the pain would go away. The more energy I put into the wish, the more I suffer with the pain. They've realized relatively recently that a good deal of the pain of pain is the anticipation of it and the struggling against it and the ideas about it. Eventually the bell rings, the joints flex and stretch, and the pain is gone. My body has taught me that at least one thing has no substance. It's thoroughly transient. What else is like it? For that matter, what isn't like this? Over the months and years of practice, we've gradually been discovering things as they are, instead of our ideas about them, or our wishes that they be different. We're learning to see them for what they are and to accept what serves no purpose to deny, to accept what simply is. Recently, my doctor told me I have arthritis. Arthritis. That's not so bad. What if the word had been cancer? How would my Zen training hold up then? Recently, a Dharma brother confided that while facing a tough situation, he just couldn't sit. He would sit down, and 2 minutes later, he'd be jumping out of his seat. My heart went out to him, since at least for the time being, he couldn't access that what Hawkewin reminds us are unending blessings. We call it practice because we must do it every day. We train the body-mind so that it will not let us down, not on a good day, and not when despair and darkness grab us. In Master Hawkewin's chant in praise of Zazen, he asks, how can we be free from the wheel of samsara? Samsara means basically how we usually view life. Ups and downs, struggles, pain and suffering. Moments of pleasure replaced by moments of dysfunction, discord, disharmony, unpleasantness. And we struggle to get back to the pleasure again. That's samsara. But every day's a good day. How can that compute if we're doing just that? Struggling to get to a particular mind state, to a particular body state, trying to hang on to a nice mind state when it happens, trying to hang on to a person even when they are about to leave, trying to get rid of somebody when we really don't want to be around them, trying to get well when we're sick, trying to avoid what we think will be difficult or painful or unhealthy. There's a deeper truth than this that will free us immeasurably. In Master Hawkewin's chant in praise of Zazen, he asks, how can we be free from the wheel of samsara? And then he answers, the gateway to freedom is Zazen Samadhi. This is not Zazen sitting on the cushion thinking about what you'll do when you get off the cushion. This is not Zazen on the cushion dwelling on a difficulty, wishing the bell would ring, or whatever other mind state we might hang on to. Zazen Samadhi is being so one with our practice. And here it is, this extended out-breath, which is tremendously grounding and tremendously freeing. That brings about the Zazen Samadhi that frees us. Truly frees us. So that in the midst of chaos, in the midst of adversity, in the midst of challenge, in the midst of problems, in the midst of things not going the way we thought they would or wanted to. Every day is a good day, truly, profoundly, deeply true. There's too much evidence. Oops, let's go back up a minute. The gateway to freedom is Zazen Samadhi. No way were our Zen ancestors lying to us. There's too much evidence to the contrary. Certainly anyone who sits over some period of time will come face to face with, quote, some extraordinary circumstance, close quote. May we all have a strong practice, such that we can look it in the eye and see it for what it is. Then we will know in our guts that every day is a good day. And this is an excellent way to begin our first day of this New Year Sesshin. The first Sesshin of 2016. Soon after we finished November, and then almost immediately after that, the Rohatsu Sesshin. And hopefully we've been doing some serious sitting in between, even with the holiday season happening. And one of the other articles in this newsletter was about some mutual friends of mine who had decided when they got married, they since they were Buddhists, they wouldn't celebrate Christmas. And actually, one of them grew up Jewish and the other grew up Christian. And so for years, they didn't do it until their kids were quite close to grown up, and their daughter's boyfriend asked if he could come over and bring a tree and exchange presents. And it was such a wonderful experience that they decided from then on they would do it. But instead of a Christmas tree, they would have a gratitude tree. And they would decorate it with all the things that they were grateful for. Having a house, for example. Having each other. Having good work, having good health. And from then on, that became their holiday tradition. And they exchanged gifts with their family members, gifts of gratitude. Gratitude can take us a long way. So as we continue into this Sesshin, let us let go our thoughts about all of it. Good day, bad day, gratitude, Hakuin, Vermont Zen Center. Let's let go all of it and give ourselves so completely to this out-breath that we disappear. And when that happens, magic can happen. Insight can come. Even potentially kensho, which really is another word for insight, seeing into. And again, the warning here, kensho is a beginning. It's not the end. It allows us to see more clearly, more deeply. And with that, we can take our practice even deeper, more readily, more easily, and usually with greater commitment, because we've already seen then something deeper than the usual, something more clear. And of course, as part of that seeing, we begin to see where we've been acting in ways that were less than optimal, ways that were less than compassionate, ways that were less than truly helpful and functional. And in seeing them and having the regret well up, somehow that brings us to a deep commitment not to indulge in those behavior patterns anymore. And this is part of the long maturation that is so vital in practice, that Hakuin, and in particular Hakuin's Dharma successor, Tore Inji, spoke of so strongly. And I recently learned from someone, and actually posted it on Facebook. There was a, I think he was a Hindu practitioner, actually, yes, Hindu leader, in fact. And he met Kapla Roshi at one point, and Kapla Roshi, in as part of the conversation, said, "Practice is really nothing until you make it live in your daily life. The insight that you gain in practice, you manifest in what you do and say and think. This is the basis of our practice. Full 360-degree practice. Vital, incredible, liberating." I think that's enough for a beginning. We'll stop now and recite the four vows. Shujo muhen se gando Butsuro mujo seon jo shujo muhen seon do bono mujin seon dan homun muryo seon gaku butsuro mujo seon jo Mohen Segando Bono Mujin Segandan Homun Muryo Segan Gaku Butsuro Mujo Segan Jo. Sentient beings are numberless. I vow to liberate them. Desires are inexhaustible. I vow to put an end to them. The dharmas are boundless. I vow to master them. The way of liberation is unsurpassable. I vow to become it.